Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to a powerful broadcast today with you, our listeners, participating and being a part of the program. It's a Q&A program designed around you, our listeners, that you might call in at any point in time, ask your questions, make your comments, and involve yourselves in the dialogue and discussion of the issue today. We're talking about the doctrine of self-defense on trial. The doctrine of self-defense on trial. And, of course, we're talking about the Kyle Rittenhouse trial that just finished, and some of the components and the parts of that that should cause every Christian, every conservative, every patriot to look up, listen up, and understand the dangers we're in America. And may I just simply do a little nexus here at this early portion of the broadcast. The one that drove his car into the Christmas parade, killing about five people known as of today, injuring about 40. I think it's 12 or 14 of the children that's been sent to a specialty hospital for kids because of their injuries. And yet he was let out on a $1,000 bond. Cal Rittenhouse was kept in jail for almost 4 months with no running water. He could not take a shower for that period of time, no running water, and kept in prison, kept in jail, rather than being released on a bond. And yet this other individual has been released on a $1,000 bail bond. So there's a major, major problem with our judicial system today, and it's because of the warped, bent mindset of the loose, lax, lost liberals, the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democratic Party, and the Marxist media that hyped the Kyle Rittenhouse case to make it look as though he should be absolutely hung by his toes, if you will, and are put under the guillotine as a result of what he had done. We want to examine that today and talk about it in view of the fact that we have the right of self-defense. It was codified in the scripture. It was confirmed by the courts and to be carried out by we the people. Now you might say, well, do you believe that Kyle Rittenhouse should have killed two people? They claim it was three. It was just two. Injured one, killed two. You're saying, preacher, do you believe that it was the right thing for him to do? I am not for murder. I'm not for any slaying of any human being. But let me say this very clearly, very concisely, at the beginning of this broadcast, I am for the right to keep and bear arms. I'm for the right of self-defense. Any nation, any people, any group of people across the world where they have taken that right away or where they've never had that right, wind up in a total totalitarian dictatorial system of government where the people have no rights to defend themselves. Australia is a good example of that as we speak. Weapons were taken in 1998. As a result of that, the trickle-down effect is today that the people in Australia are simply living under a totalitarian form of government, and they're standing up now, going into major, major riots and demonstrations, simply wanting their freedoms taken, given back where they've been taken under the guise of COVID. So, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about this broadcast today, the doctrine of self-defense on trial. I want to remind you early on, at telephone numbers 831-0917, 831-0917. Each and every caller today, let me say this before we go further, each and every caller today, when you call in, leave your name and address with our call screener, Roger, leave it with him. We're going to send you a free book called The Doctrine of Self-Defense. I had the privilege of writing and publishing this book just a few years back. The Bible codifies the right to keep and bear arms and of self-defense. And so each and every caller today, if you call in, have a dialogue and discussion, we want to ask you the question, are you for the results of the trial with Kyle Rittenhouse? Do you believe he should have been found guilty on any count of the five counts? Do you believe that the jury made the right decision? Those are the type of questions we want you to respond to today. And in just a moment, we're going to be introducing our very special guest that will deal with these questions and ask him some of these questions for his opinion, his insight, and his thoughts on what took place with the Kyle Rittenhouse event and the Kyle Rittenhouse trial and the end result with what the jury said. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We do the broadcast each and every day based on truth. It is the truth of the Word of God, where Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. Indeed, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then Jesus says, I am truth. And further, he says, thy word is truth, in John 14:6 and John 17:17. So, ladies and gentlemen, we base our decision on the truth, our comments, and our words spoken on this broadcast each and every day. Let's face the issues based on the authoritative, written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. We need to stand for truth, live truth, search for the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, and stand for the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full brand of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional lawn care as well as the homeowner lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. It is at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole 165 feet in there. Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. At the base of that flag, you'll find Tools for Time, the campus of Tools for Time. ToolsforTime.com, ToolsforTime.com. Just one moment. We will introduce our special guest today, and then we will introduce and allow our callers to begin with their questions and comments. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, the Kyle Rittenhouse trial was not about Kyle Rittenhouse. In fact, he made that statement on the Tucker Carlson show last evening. He said, this trial was not about me. And he spoke with senior words of wisdom, even at the young age of 18. He just recently turned 18 when all of this fiasco took place. He had just turned 17. And ladies and gentlemen, he's gone through major, major, major devastations in the past 12 months as a result of taking a stand for the right to keep and bear arms and self-defense. Now, let me just simply postulate this question. If you do what the media thinks and says that he should have done, he would have been killed. The philosophy of the media, the socialist Marxist media, and the left, loose likes, lost liberals, as I call them, they believe that he should not have shot. They believe that he should not have retaliated. They believe that he should not have pulled his weapon and killed anybody, even though they were trying to kill him. In fact, one said, well, they were just the other person just beating him in the head with a skateboard. Why did he have to shoot him? That goes for into the annals of absolute insanity to make a statement like that. But ladies and gentlemen, our Bill of Rights are the only thing that protects us today from the complete totalitarian thuggery and thugs with badges, as is found in so many nations today. It is the repressive government anytime the people do not have the right to keep and bear. Let me just simply say this very quickly. We have the First Amendment right, the right of religious liberties, the freedom of speech, the right to be able to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the right to speak freely without being repressed in our freedom. And the Second Amendment right, as one writer put it, gives us the ability to defend the First Amendment and all of the other amendments, may I add. So, Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the Second Amendment in our Constitution and under the Bill of Rights, we have that right to defend ourselves. God gave that right. It's codified in the Scripture. In fact, at your leisure, go to the little book of Esther, chapter 7, 8, and 9 in particular, and you will find that Haman had tricked the king into signing a declaration that on a certain date, all Jews would be put to death. When the king discovered that he had been tricked by Haman. Haman, by the way, wound up being put on the gallows that he had built for Mordecai. When Mordecai brought it to the king's attention that he had been tricked, the king wrote a new law, And that new law was sent out to 128 provinces in that day, and it gave authorization and directions to all Jews, when they come to kill you, rise up and kill them first. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if that's not the right to keep in arms, if that's not the right of self-defense, nothing is. And there are several places in the scripture, as I outlined in the little book, The Doctrine of Self-Defense, the right to keep and bear arms. If that does not codify it in the scripture, nothing does. And then it was confirmed by our courts and to be carried out by we the people today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to say to you, introduce to you, for those that have not heard him, and I pray that you'll stay tuned today as we face the issues, Congressman Mike Hill, former Florida representative for District 1 in the state of Florida. Congressman Hill, welcome to Let's Face the Issues broadcast today. And I will take just a moment for a brief introduction. Then we have Jim on the line. We'll take him as our first caller. But Congressman, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. Let me just succinctly say this. We're delighted that you're here. We're delighted that you faced the issues with us on a number of occasions. I've had the joy and the privilege of having you to be the host for in my stead on a number of occasions because of my faith and trust and confidence in your ability to stand for truth and to speak truth to the audience that we have tuned in each and every day. Congressman Hill, welcome to Let's Face the Issues.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. It's always an honor to be on the show with you and also to be the host on those occasions when you're unable to be here. And I just want to add before we pick up the call from Jim that I have read your book, the Biblical Right to Keep and Bear Arms. It is an excellent book, and I would encourage listeners to call in and give your address so you can also get a copy of that book.
Congressman, thank you so much for that comment and for that reference to the book. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood.
Delighted to have you.
Representative Mr. Hill, how are you today?
Yes, sir. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Outstanding. Yeah, I've got your book. It's not a hard read. It's a very easy read there. Nehemiah's masons, when they were on the wall, didn't have a weapon in one hand and a trowel in the other because, basically, they probably could have built the wall quicker if they'd used both hands, but there's a reason they had that weapon in the other hand.
Absolutely.
And I do believe that this trial, as you've already said there, and Kyle himself has said on Tucker Carlson, was about self-defense. You want to turn a liberal into a conservative there, let him get robbed at gunpoint.
You're exactly right. That's a good, very poignant point. In fact, a number of years ago, and I can't even in my recollection go back and recall the name, but there was a senator, female senator, lived there in the D.C. area, and she was a very liberal Democrat senator, and she was all against arms. She was all against weapons. In fact, had tried several times to introduce legislation to basically block any purchase of weapons, and she was accosted one morning as she was walking out of her front door down the brief driveway to get in her vehicle. She was accosted by two thugs that jumped her from behind as she was opening the car door. And as a result of that, she had a total change of mind, change of heart as to whether or not a person need to be armed for self-defense. But you're exactly right, Jim. And we're going to discuss that in pretty much detail today on this broadcast. Let me remind our listeners again, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Congressman,
let me ask you a very brief question. Was the verdict, and this is very simple, it's all-encompassing, but we're going to take this apart piece by piece during our broadcast today. Was Kyle's verdict, Kyle Rittenhouse's verdict of not guilty on all charges, was it fair, was it right, was it a correct verdict in your opinion?
Yes, it was. It was the correct verdict. It was the just verdict. It was the moral verdict, which should have been done to find him not guilty on all those charges. In fact, I don't believe those charges should have even have been brought against him. He has a right to defend himself. He has the duty and obligation to defend himself. When I first saw the videos after it first happened, right away, I said, this is a clear case of self-defense. He never should have been charged in the first place. But because we do have leftist district attorneys and state prosecutors, the charges were brought against him. He was held, I would say unlawfully, in jail for 87 days.
Yes.
And I read something just this morning, Dr. Youngblood, which was interesting. Rittenhouse himself said to Tucker Carlson that he did not have to stay in jail that long, that he met his bail, which, by the way, was $1 million. He met bail, but his lawyer at that time, Lynn Wood, kept the money and wanted him to stay in jail until November 20th and said that he would be protected better there. And ran off with, this is according to Kyle himself, that Lynn Wood kept him in jail longer than he needed to be and made money off of him, which is a shame if that's the truth.
Absolutely. In fact, one of the things that Kyle Rittenhouse in that interview with Tucker, I watched every moment of it last evening, in that interview, he said that Lynn Wood had collected over $1 million and wanted him to stay in jail as he continued on some type of fundraising, online fundraising system to continue to raise money, quote, on behalf of his defense. But according to Kyle, it was not spent on his defense. It was not spent for his bail. And Congressman, let's just, and I had this further down in the discussion, but let's discuss it now. The one that just raced his car through the crowded streets about an hour from Kenosha, just killing five people and wounding many others, children included. And Kyle Rittenhouse now, they wanted $1 million bail. And with this thug that's just killed so many people that were in the Christmas parade, they released him on a $1,000 bond. And according to his lengthy criminal record, he's been caught and released, caught and released, caught and released five times. And each time either a $1,000 bail or no bail at all. Where's the justice? Where's the remedy in our land today when that is taking place as far as the crime that's increasing, spiking every day in all of our cities? How can we remedy that? And you touched on it with a lot of these district attorneys that today are making those determinations. And they were put in office by George Soros's funds. And George Soros is all for destroying and overthrowing American jurisprudence and the system that we have today. How do you respond to that inequity?
Well, there has to be some way, Dr. Youngblood, I believe, to get rid of these district attorneys who are not doing their jobs. We see that they have been installed with George Soros money. There has to be a way where the people can rise up and either remove them from that position and be replaced by those who will uphold the law. It's unconscionable that this thug could be released so many times and to commit so many crimes. And we see that their justification for it is that too many, and I'll use their term, too many blacks are in jails right now, and we don't need to have that many in there. Well, my response to that is then don't commit the crime. You don't want to go to jail, don't commit the crime. But there is no way that he should have been released so many times. And in fact, it wasn't that long ago where he tried to use his vehicle to roll over a woman and was arrested and released on $1,000 bond. This is a dangerous criminal man. He should be brought to trial speedily. And I believe just looking at the evidence that is there should be found guilty. And if it were me, the prosecutor, I would ask for the death penalty. This gentleman has demonstrated that he is not capable of living in this society with us. So it's time to say goodbye. Now, when you stand before the Lord God Almighty, that's between you two. But you've already demonstrated you can't live here with us. And it's time for you to go.
Absolutely. And when you, again, I'm basing, as you have, my conclusions on his known record, And I'm amazed that the officials in that county, that city, simply referring to it as assumed guilty or assumed to be the perpetrator or the one that carried out the, quote, mass casualty. They're not even trying, not calling it a mass murder or a mass killing, but a mass casualty event. But I'm looking at an article, Congressman, leftists convicted Rittenhouse before the trial and don't let acquittal change their minds. And this is in part what the article says. And we find that what the media was saying, the political pundits on the left were saying, they were saying, for example, the whole time that Rittenhouse was in jail, all during the course of the trial, they were trying to bias the thinking of the jury, I believe, because they said he was a white supremacist. They said he was a part of a militia. They made the statement he crossed state lines to kill black people. They made the statement, the media now, and a lot of the political pundits on the left, that he was carrying an illegal weapon. They made the statement that he shot three black men. And they made further statements that he should be convicted of murder on all of the convicted on all charges and primarily being convicted of murder. Now, those were the things that the pundits were saying. Now, here this article is dated the 19th of November of this year. Liberals long have been condemning Kyle Rittenhouse for defending himself in that riot last year in Kenosha, Wisconsin, a violent event triggered by police confrontation in which they shot and injured a suspect. Rittenhouse, by the way, that goes back to the fundamental cause of the Black Lives Matter rioting in the streets, was a phony media event that said that the police officer had killed a black man. He was not killed. He was wounded. He was injured. He was not killed. And yet that was perpetrated by the loose, lax, lost left and the Marxist media. Further, it says Rittenhouse shot three men, killing two in a case presented by the jury with evidence of self-defense. But President Biden some time ago released a video linking Rittenhouse to white supremacy. And Ilhan Omar bluntly claimed he executed two people while Presley charged he is a white supremacist, domestic terrorist. So what are their positions now after the acquittal? Here's part of it. Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted by a jury of seven women and five men for defending himself against multiple attackers in the middle of a riot. Gottlieb continued. This is the one that heads up an organization for the liberties and freedoms of keeping and bearing arms. Says Gottlieb continued, by being tried in a court, he essentially was being held responsible for his actions, which the jury's verdict clearly indicates were justified under the circumstances. And yet the media, including Chris Cuomo, that tutored his brother, the sex offender governor of New York, tutored his brother on how to answer giving lies to the media in relationship to his, being accused of sexual abuse of multiple women. And yet Chris Cuomo just recently was dressed down by the attorney representing Kyle Rittenhouse when he was trying to put the attorney on the spot. But with all their claims in public domain, i.e. the media, and even with the president making statements about his being guilty, I'll read one blurb from one other article. It's from Andrew Cuomo, the former governor of New York. Today's verdict is a stain on the soul of America. It sends a dangerous message about what our value systems are and our justice system being designed and designated to protect the innocent. We must stand unified in rejecting superiority and white supremacy, vigilantism, and with one voice say, this is enough, end quote. Now, Congressman, with that being kind of a summary of what the charges were, what the position was, and all of the media taking place, taking the position of that, is Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist?
No way at all. And why they keep saying that is nothing more than a dog whistle to try and encourage people to protest and riot. The people who he shot were all white. And he even said during his interview, he says, I wasn't there against Black Lives Matter, who was rioting. He said, this whole thing was about my self-defense. And if we back up just a little bit, Dr. Youngblood, you mentioned that the riot was the result of policemen justifiably shooting a criminal who was in the act yes. of committing a crime.
Yes.
He had a knife in his hand, lunged into his car. They didn't know what he was going to pull out of that car. It could have been a weapon, a gun, or whatever. So they shot him and did not kill him, but he was shot. Now, if we back up a little further then, the rioting that took place was unjustified, illegal, and should have been stopped in its tracks.
Yes.
When the first brick was thrown, arrest should have been made. When the first fire was set, arrest should have been made. It should have stopped immediately. Instead of those on the left who tell the police to stand down, let them vent their frustrations, and then cause millions of dollars in damages to that community, which has to be paid for either through insurance or through taxes. Either way, it's going to cost the people who live there a lot of money and would cause some businesses to not want to reopen in those areas. So for the left to keep with this narrative of it's a white supremacist, that our judicial system is unjust, that it's biased towards blacks, and we must change it, that is nothing more than trying to keep this whole, what they want are riots to continue again. They want riots. And why do they want riots to continue? To cause a disruption. It's the old Marxist theme book. You cause destruction, you create destruction, you cause things to fall apart, and then you come in and build back better.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Socialism and communism to the core. And that's what this whole Biden regime is about.
You're exactly right. Congressman, hold on a moment. We have Danny on the line. Danny, go with the question and comment, please.
Good morning, gentlemen. Once again, another truthful program on all aspects. I think we can label this designed crime perpetrated by the government, whether it be state or federal, for one purpose, and that is, as you just stated, tear down and rebuild a corrupted system. Everyone asks, what do we do? How do you stop it? Have you ever thought of having the Oath Act, where any office, local, state, or federal, where you give an oath to uphold a constitution, state, or federal, that you're held accountable if you break that oath to the point of being removed from office easily because you breached your oath? Why don't the states put in to their ballots next term or next time around the Oath Act, where the people themselves will govern who holds that office and who does fulfill their oath or does not? I've said for years it would be very simple if that was enacted and the people could, through ballot, through vote, or through numbers, get them out of office rather than have to wait 2 or 4 years to elect them out. Now that we're in such a total corrupt election system, we could never do it.
Danny, you're exactly right. We've got just about a minute left on the broadcast. I'll ask Congressman Hill to respond to your insight and statements, which were spot on, but I'll let him respond.
Dan, I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. My concern with it would be that those on the left would abuse it, that they would simply make up lies about someone saying that they are not fulfilling their oath of office and then demand that they be removed. The left is not above doing that. They have demonstrated that they will lie, steal, and cheat to meet their ends. And so that would be my concern, is that holding someone accountable to their oath, which they should be, but to remove them from office, the left would use that as a field day, would be my concern.
I believe Dan, if you don't mind, we've got a hard break coming up at the top of the hour news. If you would hang in there, and we'll pick you up right after the news. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issue.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.